item chapter 19 this morning, Luke chapter 19. And I want to speak this morning about being approved of God. Luke chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading in verse 12. But let me just touch on something here before we begin reading this passage. When you read the Bible, you need to read it carefully. You ever make a mistake reading something? We got an email at the beginning of soccer season, and it listed some things that were going on, and one of them said there was going to be a concession testing. And a concession testing, what in the world is that? So I emailed the person back again, and I said, could you explain what this is? And they said, well, the kids go in, and they do this computer test to get a baseline for their thinking, I guess, or whatever. Oh, concussion. It was printed right. I read it wrong. You know, you read something real quick, and you know. And sometimes we do that with the Bible. You need to read it carefully. And we come to Luke chapter 12. This is a parable very similar to one found in the book of Matthew, but they're not the same. Matthew is a parable of talents. And talent is a unit of measure for money, a unit of money measurement for the Jews. Luke is a pound, a unit of measure of money for the Gentiles. Matthew's written to the Jews. Luke's written to the Gentiles. And there's other differences as well. In Matthew, you only have three servants. And each is given differently. In Luke, you have 10, and they're all given the same. And how the thing plays out is different as well. So read the Bible carefully. It's important to see similarities and make connections to help to understand, but it's also important to notice differences, no matter how subtle they may be. And there is a difference between this and the parable of talents found in the book of Matthew. Luke chapter 19, let's begin in verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into the far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. This is to us, the church. Now, we're not to go up on a mountain, wait for the rapture to happen. We're to be busy, occupy till the Lord returns. The nearness of the time of the Lord's return doesn't affect the preparedness on our part. We need to be busy serving him until that trumpet sounds. He says, stay at it. You know, I'll be there, but you keep busy until I get back. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, and he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And notice there's a difference in how they're rewarded, but he's still pleased with what they've done, right? They did something. You know what? That's what God wants of us. Do something. It may not match what somebody else is doing, but do something to serve him, to be approved of him. Verse 20, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidst it not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. He saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow? Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? At least you could have done this, if nothing else. And he would have been pleased. He's pleased because he didn't do anything. Verse 24. He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that every one which hath shall be given, and him that from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. And here's another difference between this and Matthew. What happens, this is the end of what happens to the third servant here. What is described here in Luke is not what happens to the third servant, but in Matthew it is. He says, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Now, it's a little bit different, the description there in Matthew, but there, again, the distinction between these two events here. But the point of all this is approval. The approval of God. Do something. You know, approval or acceptance is one of the basic human needs. We all want to be accepted by others, don't we? And that acceptance sometimes, or the desire for that acceptance, sometimes causes people to do some pretty foolish things. Children, are tremendously driven by the desire to be accepted. I mean, they'll go to extreme measures, eating worms and being cruel to one particular child that the others are all being cruel to. You know, all ways in which this manifests itself, just to be accepted by the crowd, to be approved of by their peers. Teenagers get pretty extreme. You know, you got to have the right kind of clothes, and you got to wear them the right way, you know, halfway down to your knees or something, and the dyed and spiked hair and tattoos and piercings, all these things. And a lot of that's driven simply by being accepted by a particular peer group. Now, I think there can be more to it, but that's a lot of the basis of that thing. How foolish and how fickle that acceptance can be too. And we adults aren't exempt from this. We got to get the particular kind of brand of car. You know, you go around State College, you see all these BMWs and Mercedes and Jaguars and even a Lamborghini here or there. Why? To be approved of. For acceptance. Our homes and all kinds of possessions. For that fleeting approval of somebody else. All these things, even politicians, are driven by poll numbers, which is approval. When I went to college after high school, I graduated in 1970. So it was right as the drug culture and everything was beginning to become popular, peaking maybe. When I was in high school, we were in a little town up in New York State on the Pennsylvania border. There was about, there were what, 275 in my graduating class. There were a handful of kids that were known users of drugs. Long hair, you know, the dirty clothes, the whole nine yards. And for the most part, they were kind of looked down upon. Not completely ostracized, but it's like, oh, those are the dopers over there, you know. And the vast majority of the class, my class, was not a part of that. I went to Alfred Ag and Tech up in Alfred, New York, just almost straight north of here. And on the weekend, on my floor in the dormitory, I think there was 30-some rooms. There were about 3 rooms on the weekends you could smell marijuana when you walk past the room. I was dead set against it when I went to school. By the end of the year, I think there were 3 rooms where you would not smell marijuana when you walked past them. And I was one of those that changed. And what really struck me was that when I came home that summer from college, that thing had swept through all of my classmates. Suddenly, it wasn't just a handful. Most of us were using dope. Acceptance. That peer pressure. The wanting to be approved. And how many times did we do some stupid things just to get somebody's approval, somebody's acceptance? Two things I want you to see this morning. First, seeking man's approval, the folly of it. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And, you know, we talk about adults, and this is a snare to them. In Proverbs 29, 25, let's read that first. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. It's a snare. And we see people run for political office and make these promises, like this president of the Philippines and all these things that they're going to do. And you know, Trump was just down in Gettysburg this week and has all these things he's going to do, and he takes office. Man, there's some good things there, if he will follow through. But as my gym teacher in grade school used to say, if is a very small word with a very big meaning. If he follows through. And once he gets into office, how much pressure will be on him to not follow through, if he really intends to in the first place? That peer pressure. It's a snare if we seek the approval of men. There's some good people that have come in with some good ideas into our government. But the pressure to conform caused them to back away time and time and time again. And how many times do we as God's people fall prey to that same pressure? The fear of man bringeth a snare. How many times does the Holy Ghost say, give that person a tract? Talk to them about Jesus Christ. And the fear of man, that fear of not having that acceptance, that approval, causes us to remain silent. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And it's such a fickle thing. It's contrary to God oftentimes. And the way of man, the Bible says over and over again, is the way of death. How foolish. You think about Peter. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. There was twice that Peter fell prey to the fear of man and did something foolish just to be accepted with the crowd that he was hanging out with. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69. Matthew 26, 69. Now Peter sat without in a palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. Jesus Christ has been betrayed by Judas. He's arrested. He's been brought there. And Peter's standing around this fire with all these other people there. And this little girl, a damsel, says, weren't you one of them? But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. After a while came unto him they who stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. The Lord even warned him about this. And yet he still bowed to that pressure, the peer pressure, the seeking approval of those which he was gathered with. And how many times, children and adults alike, do we get into a situation like that? And without even thinking, we bow to the pressure and we do wrong. And just like Peter, afterwards, we go out and we weep bitterly when we realize the error of our ways. Look at Galatians chapter 2. This wasn't the last time that Peter did this, the only time. In Galatians chapter 2, after the resurrection, after they've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and they've seen God do some amazing things, and the Apostle Paul has now been converted and begun to evangelize the various parts of Asia Minor. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul says this, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, who did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, and with other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation." What's going on here? It's this. Peter got that vision in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius had a dream and had been told to send to Joppa for a guy named Simon Peter, and he will tell you what you need to do. And while those men were leaving from Cornelius and going to Joppa to get Peter, Peter had a vision from God. This sheet comes down out of heaven with all kinds of unclean animals and everything, and the voice says, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." He says, "Oh, not so, Lord, because I've never touched anything common or unclean." And God says, "What I've called," can't remember what he said it. "Don't call that common or unclean, which I've approved of," basically, is what he said. And at that time, the guys from Cornelius arrived. And he understood that what God was saying was, it's all right to go to those Gentiles. He went to Cornelius. He preached to him. Cornelius got saved. Many of his household got saved. He baptized them. Tremendous work of God. Because he crossed a barrier that for that point he felt was wrong to cross. But God said, "It's all right. I'm accepting the Gentiles in. You can go to them." But later on, Peter's fellowshipping with the Gentiles, having a good old time, you know, and seeing them grow in their grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And suddenly some other Jews from Jerusalem show up. And Peter withdraws. He pulls away from them. Won't have anything to do with them because the Jews are there. And Paul says, "Peter, you're wrong. You're letting those guys cause you to sin against these brethren." And he says, "I withstood him to the face," the first pope. He was wrong. And he's still wrong today. Peter bowed to the peer pressure. And it became a snare to him. Twice. Man's approval, seeking man's approval, is wrong, folks. And it's fickle. Man's way is not God's way. Secondly, this. We need to seek God's approval. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 18. "For not he that committeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." We read there in Luke chapter 19 about those servants. And we don't know what happened to the other seven in Luke. There are only three of them are mentioned. But two of them, one had multiplied what he'd been given tenfold. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Be thou ruler over 10 cities. The second multiplied it fivefold. "Well done, be thou ruler over 5 cities. God approved them. God commended them for what they had done. And we, too often times, we dismiss God's approval and seek after man's approval. Which is more important, folks? But I'll be honest with you, there's times I feel the pressure of that too. And fail for man's approval. But it's not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. We've got his approval that we need to seek after. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. And if anything is an example in this area, it's the Apostle Paul. He said, "For do I not persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For what if I yet please men? I should not be the servant of Christ." And Paul talks about, well, Luke tells us about some of the things that befell Paul as he was seeking only to please God. He was arrested, he was stoned, he was beaten, he was chained, he suffered lashings, all kinds of things, because he sought God's approval above all else. He was not swayed by anything but seeking to please and honor his Lord. The approval that we need to seek is God's approval. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. The first step in that approval is to trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, we need to pray for our leaders, as it says here. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what's acceptable to God. The Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That was his purpose. He suffered, he died on the cross to save us from our sins. And without that, there's no way to gain God's approval. That's the first step. That's a prerequisite to gain God's approval. Salvation through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it's by this that we gain complete and perfect acceptance in the sight of God. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, this is that basic need of each and every one of us, this approval, this being accepted. But we can be accepted by Almighty God. Look at verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I'm a child of God through Jesus Christ. You think about adoption. The natural children here, you know, you don't have a choice. That you're stuck with that kid. But when they're adopted, you've made a decision to make that child yours. Think about that. That adoption is a special relationship. And I am adopted into God's family by faith in Jesus Christ. According to the good pleasure of his will, he said. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. God took me from my sin, from my wickedness, and he made me his child. He's made me his son. Accepted in the beloved through Jesus Christ. Think about that, folks. That's Approval that can't even begin to compare to anything on this earth. That complete acceptance based solely on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. What he did for me, that this could be even be possible. Without that, it's not possible. I can't earn it. I can't deserve it. There's no way I can obtain it in and of myself. But God says, here it is. This is all yours if you just receive my Son as your Lord and your Savior, confessing your sins and trusting in him and him alone. I've now become accepted in the Beloved, a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, a citizenship in heaven. That's my place. That's my standing before God, my position with him. As one who's been born again, as one who's been adopted, nothing can change that. It was done by God by my simply assenting to what God has done for me, receiving what he did for me. That's my position. I'll never be unborn again. Nothing can change that. But there is something that can change. That is my inheritance, my reward. I will always be a son of God. From October the 27th, 1975, till the day that I die, and through all of eternity, I will be a son of God. That will not change. That standing will not change. But what can change is what I have to enjoy throughout eternity. And again, you think about Luke chapter 19. They served, they received. Look at it again, Luke chapter 19. The first received 10 cities for the one talent that he turned into 10. The second received 5 cities for the one talent that he turned into 5. But then the third one, verse 23, let's start there. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound. What I placed in your hand. The guy's still a servant. But he says, what I placed in your hand to use, take it from him and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And he said to him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds, for I say unto you that unto every one which shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Any rewards that I might gain in my life, for serving as a pastor, for seeing others come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, for giving to missions, anything that I might have done that God says I'll be rewarded for, I can lose if I'm not faithful, if I'm not seeking his approval above all else. I can suffer that loss. My standing with him will not change. But what I have to enjoy through eternity can be affected. That's what's at stake here. I can lose mine inheritance. Think about the prodigal son. He says, I want what's mine, Dad. Give it to me. I deserve it. And the father did. He gave it to him. And he went away and he spent his inheritance in righteous living, it said. To the point where he was destitute, he was feeding pigs, and so hungry he was willing to eat the squill that he was feeding to the pigs. He says, you know what? My father's servants are better off than I am right now. Here's what I'll do. I'll go back to Dad and say, look, I know I gave everything up, but just let me be one of your servants. And what did the father do when he went back? He said, "This, my son." He didn't lose his sonship. The inheritance was gone. But he never lost his position with the Father. He was brought back in, a robe put upon him, a ring on his finger that killed the fatted calf. There was celebration. He's still the son. Still part of the family. But the inheritance is gone. His part of it. That would not be restored. And that's the position we as Christians are. We can lose that inheritance. My purpose now, as a child of God, is to please Him. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4:11, this scene focuses on heaven here in Revelation chapter 4 as it's gone from the seven churches in the second and third chapters. Now we look into heaven, and starting in verse 1 there, he says, and he sees the door opened. We come down to verse 11, it says this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's my responsibility. To live to God's pleasure. His approval. But how often times do we put that aside for my pleasure or man's approval? This is my purpose. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 29. This is Jesus Christ speaking here in John 8. He says, verse 29, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Twice at His baptism, and then later at the Mount of Transfiguration, a voice came from heaven. As He was baptized, He came up out of the water, and then as Peter, James, and John were assembled there with Him at the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw Him transformed before their eyes. His garments were white and glistening, and His countenance shone forth. And on those two occasions, the same thing was said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The life of Jesus Christ was lived entirely to the pleasure of God the Father. To the point, even in that garden, as He prayed there that night, He said, "Not my will, but Thine be done." Because He did always those things which pleased Him. And that's my responsibility as a child of God. That's each and every one of our responsibilities as a child of God. To do that which is pleasing in the sight of my God. Not to get into heaven, because that's settled by my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But for my inheritance. It says, if we suffer with Him, we shall also rule and reign with Him. If we deny Him, He'll deny us. Not my salvation, but my inheritance. Sorry, son, you lost it. Because you sought to please yourself, you sought to please man, instead of seeking to please me. This is my role, this is my responsibility. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse beginning in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if our earthly house, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For he that in this tabernacle, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given to us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are present with the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That's to be my driving force. To seek to be acceptable, to be well-pleasing in the sight of God. And keep in the back of your mind that phrase, that we not be found naked. I'll come to that in just a moment. But God wants us to serve, to please Him. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. It says in Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And this whole passage in Romans chapter 8 talks about walking after the flesh or after the Spirit. And then walking in the flesh or in the Spirit. Now as a child of God, I can't walk in the flesh because I'm in the Spirit. But now I have a choice between walking after the flesh or after the Spirit. And if I'm after the flesh, I can't please God. Again, that's the idea of living to please myself, living to please other people, and not living to please God. It's impossible, he says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I need to live my life by faith. You know what? As Christians in this country, that's a challenge. As poor as we might think ourselves to be at times, I doubt there's few of us, if any, that don't have something to eat when you get home today. Or something, a house to be in, to be warm when it gets cold tonight. The vast majority of the world doesn't have that. He said, we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we don't often pray that because we got food in the cupboard. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The challenge to us Christians is to find ways to live strictly by faith. Okay, God, here's what I'm going to put before you. Here's my step of faith in my life. That's how we please God. We gain His approval by living by faith. And the challenge for us, as I say, to do that is because of the prosperity that we have, we don't need the daily things we don't need to worry about. But we still ought to thank Him for that and trust Him for the things in our lives. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I got to beware of entanglements in this world. if I want to please God, if I want His approval. To live by faith, to beware of these entanglements. Look at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a means of God's approval. Studying this book which He's given to us. Diligently studying it. Noting the similarities as well as the differences. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the word of God. And finally, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know who's going to get elected president. I don't know what the effect will be if Clinton or Trump is elected. But it could be disastrous for Christians. I'm not saying it's going to, I don't know. But it could be. And here's one of the things, the final thing that God says, a means of gaining His approval. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. That people recognize me as one of His. That was Peter's problem at the fire. Oh, yeah. You talk just like him. No, not me. And he cursed to deny the Lord. Don't you go to that church down there on 45? No. Yeah, the one that doesn't like homosexuals, same-sex marriage, abortion. You willing to take that stand? It's right. It's biblical. Those things are wrong. Can you be approved as a minister of Christ? Oh, you're one of those people that thinks you have only one way, only certain ones get to heaven. Well, that's true. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Take it up with Him. He wrote it. But I'll stand for it. In all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God. In much patience. In afflictions. We haven't had too much of that. Oh, you get laughed at. Big deal. It could change. In necessities. Well, that's not too much of a problem either, is it? I know sometimes we sweat out how we're going to pay the next bill or something, but none of us is living on the street. In distresses. Well, been through some of those. In stripes. In imprisonments. In tumults. In labors. In watchings. In fastings. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Approved as the ministers of God. There may be some sufferings ahead for us. And there'll be some winnowing of the chaff. Are we willing to stand to be approved regardless? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he talked about that, I told you to remember that we be not be found naked. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says in verse 13, well, I'll start in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If you're saved this morning, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a judgment that you're still going to face. My sin has been judged at the cross. That's taken care of. That's dealt with. There's a great white throne judgment that's coming at the end of things. That's not for the child of God. That's for everybody else. This judgment here is a judgment seat of Christ. When the Lord takes us out in the rapture, we're going to be 7 years in heaven while the tribulation's taking place on the earth. And we're going to stand before God, the only Christians, only those whose foundation is laid in Jesus Christ. We're going to stand before God to be judged based upon what's built upon the foundation. The foundation, sure. But everything might be reduced back to that foundation. If it's not the gold, silver, precious stones. If it's just the wood, hay, stubble, the foundation's there. My position, my standing with God as a son is still there, but that's all I got. Nothing else on top of that. That's what he's saying here. Every man's work shall be made manifest, verse 13, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Everything's gone. If you're, God forbid, but if your home should catch fire today before you get back there, what do you got? Nothing. Right? The clothes on your back, if you're wearing any. If not, you're naked. That's the child of God who does not seek God's approval above everything else. When you stand before that judgment seat, it's all going to be lost. If the approval of men and the pleasing of yourself came before God's approval. Saved, yet so as by fire. Everything else lost. Still there for eternity, but nothing to be clothed with, because you've been reduced to the foundation. Far better off still than those with an eternity in hell. But that third servant, everything that you had taken away, still there, but nothing to show for it. We need to seek God's approval in our lives. in every area of our lives, because we're going to be examined for that. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, I dare say there's not a one of us here this morning that from time to time isn't at least tempted with the seeking of the approval of men. I think it's just human nature, God. But Lord, help us as your people, as your children, to resist that temptation and to seek your approval above all else. Lord, if we be called upon to make a public stand for you, even if it costs us dearly, may we have the courage so that when we stand before you at that judgment, it will not be thou wicked and slothful servant, but rather, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Regardless of the extent of the reward, may God, each of us hear from your lips that well done, and that your name be brought honor and glory and praise through our lives on this earth. Oh God, help us. God, speak to the hearts of your people. Help us, God, to be able to stand whatever we may face in the coming days and months. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.